Yeah, and I have to thank Virginia for saying it's not part of everybody's job description to do social equity. Kind of went right into my presentation. And job number one is shorten my bio when I get home. I thought it was short. I do not have any relationships to disclose. And actually, this presentation, I presume that does that. This presentation is not specifically about health equity, although it is about advocacy. And of course, advocacy can be applied to health equity, and we hope it is. So that goes without saying. But as part of my bio, you heard that I was a health educator at a local health department in Kentucky. And so I think, so what this really has gotten me to think about is, you know, do local health departments in Kentucky specifically, do they really do advocacy? And if they do, why do they do it? How did they do it? And if they don't, why not? You know, it was funny coming to APHA. I was at a cocktail party the other night, and people were saying, oh, are you going to APHA? Yes. Are you going to APHA? No. And somebody said, yeah, I'm going. I'm going to go listen to people talk about their dissertation topics. And I was like nodding my head, and then I thought, wait a minute, they're talking about me. Because this is my dissertation topic, but this is not my dissertation data yet. But rather, it's what led me up to thinking about this. So I've always been interested in local health department advocacy. And I saw the potential for it when I was a health educator, because I would do presentations at senior citizen settings, or schools, or rotaries. And especially like at senior citizen centers, I would talk about eat better, move more, don't eat so much fat, don't eat so much sugar. And people would come up to me afterwards and they'd say, do you see what we eat here? It's fatty, has lots of sugar, they fry everything. And so I'd think, well, why don't we do something about this policy? And every effort I had to go back upstream and say, why don't we change this, was thwarted. And I thought, well, you know, if health departments don't do this, who is going to do it? So, you know, I've always been interested in this topic. I moved on from public health and went into the field of philanthropy. And one of my initiatives was advocacy. And I deal with a lot of public health people as well as other advocates. And the other advocates, American Heart, American Cancer, Kentucky Youth Advocates, they're very expert in advocacy. That is what they do. That's part of their job description. So I always come back to, well, what's public health doing in the way of advocacy? Because as a health educator, I saw what the problems were. I saw the solutions. Why didn't I advocate more? So that led me to my topic. So conversations I was having prior to choosing this as a dissertation topic led me to think about, well, why should health departments do advocacy? What can it look like? Is it happening? And if it is, how? And if it's not, why not? So why should public health advocate? Well, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so I could probably skip this slide, but I will say that the essential services, actually 3, 4, 5, and 6 cover. 3 is informing, educating, and empowering communities. 4 is mobilizing partnerships to identify and solve health problems. 5 is developing policies and plans that support individual and community health. And 6 is enforcing laws and regs, and I kind of make the transfer that if you're going to enforce them, you may as well have something to say about setting them. So to me, it was just common sense. And also because policy change is always population-based. And oh, thank you very much. Is population-based, and public health is population-based. So we should be doing it. So what does advocacy look like? I went to the list of skills that we use at the foundation when we work with advocacy grantees. And it's really something that came out of Grantmakers in Health. These are some advocacy skills. So research and analysis, to look into health problems and try to find solutions. Evaluation and comment on regulation and proposals. And this too, having to do with health and health regulations and proposals. Those are advocacy skills, not necessarily traditionally thought to be. Community organizing, and back in 2008, community organizing kind of got a bad rap, but we all see it as a very vital skill for advocacy. Issue framing and messaging is very specific, and it really is a specialized skill for presenting information in such a way that it moves the issue forward. And then convening and coalition building, which is the bread and butter of what health educators do, as is public education and health campaigns. And then engaging stakeholders, pulling together other people who feel the same way about the health issues, and solutions identification that come as a result of the research and analysis done, and educating and consulting with policymakers. Now, this is the one that a lot of people think gets you on the slippery slope to lobbying. But even lobbying, which is trying to influence legislation, in some states is not prohibited for health departments, and certainly is an advocacy skill. And media advocacy, and we all know that health departments very often are the first place that media goes when there's a health problem. So those are the skills of advocacy. And then I looked at, well, is it happening in public health? And if you look at each of those skills, yeah, it is happening. Think of all the tobacco coalitions, and remember, we're from Kentucky. Believe it or not, we have lots of tobacco work going on in Kentucky. I should say anti-smoking. And we have a wonderful Kentucky Center for Smoke-Free Policy that has worked with local ordinances that now, local communities to develop ordinances, now over 30% of Kentucky is covered by smoke-free regulations. Also the menu labeling topic. We were working on that before it became part of healthcare reform. And also the research that's done in health departments. I always said when I was a health educator, this place is like 1,000 dissertations waiting to happen with all the data we had, all the research that was being done, not always analyzed, but being collected. And then the media that we work with all the time in health departments, educating that we do, and commenting on regulations. I know in Kentucky at the state level, very often the state health department is asked to testify in front of health and welfare, and sometimes local health department people. And then, of course, I make my point about data. So, in conversations I had with people about, you know, do you advocate? And much of this is with health department directors who are no longer health department directors, or people that are kind of tangential to the public health field. And what they say is the health departments that do advocate, that do successfully work on health issues, the things they have in common are a very supportive director, a progressive director who can lead the way, and also a trained workforce who can do the media advocacy, the messaging, the coalition building. But most importantly, they say, what enables it is when they have a very bright line about what is doable, what is permissible, what is clearly part of the job of the health departments, and that those are the health departments that stand out as being the advocates for health issues. And you can look at their communities, and they are the healthier communities in the state. So that begs the question, if that's what enables it, then what are the barriers? Now, there are some studies out there, and I have finished the review of literature for my dissertation, and there are a paltry number of studies that have looked at this, and they're all quantitative studies. And what they point to is when asked the question in a survey and forced choice, it's usually we don't have time, we don't have money to do advocacy. And really, when I talk to people, it's not so much the money issue, but it may be time if it takes time away from other things. But more clearly, it's a lack of ability to do the advocacy skills, not feeling comfortable with doing the advocacy skills. But most importantly, it's that unclear line. There was a clear line in the successful health departments that they knew what they could do. They knew what was permissible, and a lot is permissible. Very often when local health departments don't do advocacy, it's because they think they can't do it. They think it's lobbying. They think all advocacy is lobbying, or they think they can't talk to policymakers or try to move issues forward or talk about regulations and legislation. So what I plan to do is take a deeper dive into this. You know, is this really true? We have the quantitative, we have a little bit of quantitative data, but do we really have the qualitative data that we need to find out what are the things that enable advocacy at the local health department level? And what are the things that are barriers? Because if we are going to deal with things like social health equity, then we need to get to the point where health departments feel comfortable advocating for bike lanes or farmers markets. And then, of course, move into the broader issues that we all would like to see. And I welcome your questions, and actually, I welcome your suggestions, too. Thank you. Thank you.